The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my little box's left, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. I see some inspirational phraseology behind your head there today, Dave. Dare mighty things.
Of course.
I love it.
So that was, I'm trying to remember where, Teddy Roosevelt, and I believe that was Johnson Space Control when they sent up the lander.
Oh, very cool.
Was there a big tagline this time? So I thought it was appropriate.
If I've learned any historical humor from my wife, I would never guess that had anything to do with Teddy Roosevelt because it didn't use the word I.
It's true.
The rumor was that he broke the letter I on his typewriter writing his memoirs.
In good Rooseveltian fashion.
Yes, exactly.
He broke that faster than a saddle. So, it's all good.
Yeah, very cool. Very inspiring. And I like the font, too. And, that's a good thing. Continuing around the horn here, Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Howdy.
Planning a big trip to D.C. to see the...
Yeah, absolutely no purpose.
To see the cherry blossoms, but I can't get near the cherry blossoms.
Yeah, so you travel safe, Jim. We need
If people would just wear masks.
Yeah. Sometimes the virus just does what it does, too, Jim. So
that's true, too.
We can, quarantine and we can wear masks, but the non-living living thing gets to make all the choices.
Apparently. But for the last year, we've also had a huge decrease in seasonal flu, in colds, because a lot of people have been wearing masks, so we haven't had to deal with those other things.
That's right.
I did not get sick once.
That's amazing, Beth.
Academic year, no colds.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. It was. I'm like, I can't remember what it's like to not be in the constant petri dish of germs.
Right.
That is basically any school. Right.
Right.
I knew you were going to qualify or not qualify, but define it, Beth. It's like the petri dish of education.
That's even better.
Oh man. All I can say, and Mara's already heard this rant, so I'll get it down into one little sentence. There was a big push for my son's high school and middle school to go back to 100% person. It took them almost 3 months to get everything planned and ready. And they started on Monday. And by Thursday, they are in full shutdown for the next 3 weeks.
I saw that. That looked pretty miserable as far as the numbers. Yeah. Ugh.
And to be honest, it's a mixture. You can't find people to fill in. I know I shouldn't say this on the air, but I asked Emmett, hey, how was your social studies test? He's like, what are you talking, Dad? We watched Moana today. I'm like, uh-oh.
Jeez.
That means the parent volunteers are coming out,
What? They're South Polynesian studies, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what it was about.
I mean,
I shouldn't be laughing, but that's really funny.
That is God's truth right there. That's all I can tell you.
I mean, it's Polynesian studies.
And the person who shouldn't be laughing, but is laughing and it's still fun, is Professor Beth Oljar.
Why didn't I get to do that? I don't remember social studies being that fun.
Me neither.
Nope.
It's probably more indicative of, at least at the elementary school level, we've got dual-edged sword here in southeastern Michigan. We're going into the absolute nadir of a 25-year drought for elementary school teachers because a whole bunch of schools, including our own, no longer have programs, and a lot of people are sick. And with that, you just can't find substitutes. And there was a day, I know for a fact, that I think that, not to say he's not qualified, but the school janitor was watching over my son's class for a regular unit. Stretch the staff as far as he can.
A new janitorial career.
He's got two good eyes. That's all he needs, right?
All he needs, yeah. Third graders. Oh, yeah. Third graders are easy, it's the younger kids that really cause the problems, right?
They're not the younger kid. Well, I know there are even younger than that, but still.
So yeah, we're going, Beth, on almost everybody on the panel here has been stabbed at least once, if not twice.
I got the fresh one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's good news. But Jim makes a good point. We have a little survey we've got to fill out online and flash this green logo to get onto campus. Well, wouldn't our vaccination card be enough? But remember, it takes about 14 days, Jim, to fully
It's been more than 14 since my second
vaccine. You should be good to go. Be good to go.
I didn't even know we had to do a login thing. Of course, I have had no interest
in
the campus. So
You have to fill out a questionnaire and then they send you an email that you have to show them at the gate on your phone.
Right. Continuing around the horn here, Professor Jeff Boats. It's just the way the light's falling today, Jeff. You look really angry, Jeff.
I don't know why I have this red tint on my face. I can't tell. I have to get a flashlight and shine it in my face or something.
You're shining it underneath your chin, too.
That would be scary, Jeff. That would be scary.
Jeff is doing his best Ron Perlman right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm Hellboy. That's me. Yeah.
The old Hellboy. Not the
new. No.
I got to talk to some janitors to teach my Celt class if we go back into...
Totally.
Did you know my first two jobs were janitorial? I was a janitor. So some of those janitors, they're a little smarter than me.
Yeah.
So there's a natural progression into education from there, huh?
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, cleaning other people's toilets teaches you. It's study and stay in school, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, the woman who's taking over as acting mayor of Boston.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Who's African-American in that city with the really horrific record of racial tension. She had a baby at 16. I'm going to connect to Jeff's story here in a second. She put herself through Smith cleaning toilets there.
Wow.
To pay for her tuition.
Bravo. So
another janitorial job that worked out well. She's now acting mayor of Boston. First woman and first African American.
I heard Boston, and I didn't know whether we were going to go in a Goodwill Hunting janitorial mathematician.
I was just going to mention that.
I thought that too, actually, when Jeff was talking. We're like, there's a Goodwill Hunting job going on.
It's an important job.
Absolutely.
Imagine what a school would look like.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Continuing around here, Professor Mara Livesey coming into us live from a different time zone.
Yes, hello.
Three different.
Apparently, what time is it? I don't know. 3 hours ago. It feels like four to me, but apparently it's not.
Mara, isn't it 24 hours for every time zone you skip, no matter what direction you're going in? Something like that, you know?
Something like that. But, you know, I'm doing this weird thing where I still wake up on Eastern time, 7 a.m. So it's like 4 a.m. here, but I'm going to bed later. So I'm just all jumbled up.
I hate to tell you, Mara, but officially it's not yet happy hour where you are.
Well, I go by East Coast time.
Okay.
It might be 1 o'clock here, but that means nothing to my body.
A man who doesn't know the meaning of the word happy hour. It just came out wrong, Dan. I'm sorry. It's Professor Dan Maggio.
Womp, womp, womp.
I see you're on a real roll today, Pat. No,
he's never known a non-happy hour.
Well, it's a happy hour somewhere.
Absolutely. The globe is big.
Dan, I know I've told this story before, but maybe it just comes up like a good penny, a shiny penny, about how I remember vividly having you for Calc 3 and your ability to draw a perfect circle on the board on the first shot. And I've never forgotten that. Somehow we got talking about polar coordinates. And I'm like, let me tell you a Dan Maggio story.
But you
So I believe
that.
You, but I'm short and I don't know how I was able to do that because the ledge just probably came up to my shoulder. Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, you sure you didn't draw it on the ground then?
It was on the green board.
You can't draw a perfect circle.
It was to my poor eyes. It was downright perfect.
I'm a Platonist about math. The form of it's just an approximation, right?
Right, right. Well, everything is a model, Beth.
It's an ideal. It's the ideal.
Everything is a model. So
the ideal.
I'm trying to remember. There was was it Nichols? He used to be able to do that. Go up to the board and do, and just get a perfect circle on the board.
You just use your body as a natural compass. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. That was true of Da Vinci too. That he could draw on the ground. with a piece of chalk in a public square, like a 20-foot circle, and it would
really
now that's freaky.
Now that would be hard.
He was kind of freaky in a good way.
Yeah. Freaky in a good
and
way.
Left-handed, I might add.
That story surprised me, not because you drew a perfect circle, Dan, but because I didn't know you were Matt's professor.
Oh, you didn't know that, huh?
That's a whippersnapper.
Honestly, I wouldn't have thought you were that old, Dan. You look young as ever.
Thank you.
It's a formaldehyde. It keeps them younger.
And curling.
It's the cold air.
There you go. And the fact that I haven't been, speaking of not being sick. So when I quit smoking, which is 12 years now, I stopped getting sick. I mean, it was noticeable. And now this year, it's even more noticeable. Like I haven't, like the rest of you, I haven't been sick all year. Not a single sniffle.
Me neither.
It's awesome.
It's great. Nice.
Maybe a day or two, but
it's the Benjamin Button effect, right? We'll be 12 tomorrow.
Well, the best academic year I've had since 2015.
I understand. Totally understand. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okie dokie. Hello again, profs. We're up here in the UP. It's cold, gray, so we've been entertaining ourselves by writing more questions for the show. It's a short set. Only 10 questions, so 7 out of 10 is the passing grade. Hope you all are well. Up in Munising, she says, way up north, it's Marilyn Bachoric.
Thanks
for sending these questions, Marilyn. Our subject is pretty straightforward, nicknames. Nicknames. We'll start with an easy one. She says, Can't do that.
That's a kiss of death.
Which president had the nickname the professor?
Woodrow Wilson.
It was Wilson. It was good.
He was a professor. That's why.
That's probably how he got
went out. For the obvious. That's what I did.
Thanks.
A professor and a college president.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's absolutely right. What singer born Edith Giovanna Gassion was known as the Little Sparrow?
Edith Piaf.
Edith Piaf is correct.
Yeah, they named a rice after her, didn't they? Oh, no.
That's pilaf.
Oh, okay. I was close.
I was thinking sparrow, and you're going pilaf.
There's a TV commercial that plays one of her songs that we keep seeing on the television, where somebody leaves a goldfish on top of a car and
that kind of thing. That's right. Junior hockey player Eric Lindros was dubbed what nickname by the media?
The crybaby. I know that. The king of concussions.
Media is a little different up in Canada.
You know, it's based on the fact that, and you probably already know what Wayne Gretzky's nickname was.
The great one.
Great.
He was the great one. And Eric Lindros, when he was coming up through the ranks, right, Dave, he was sort of
the heir apparent.
The ran.
The not so great one.
Yeah.
All of these are really, really good. You know, expectations for Lindros were so high that he was nicknamed the next one in the media. And within a season or two, we didn't have to worry about it anymore.
He was more of the concussed one. That's all.
Oh, yeah, because that only applies to like one person in the NHL.
Oh, no, but his concussions were epic. That's all.
Yeah, they were. They were.
Oh.
I wasn't happy with the highlights. It's really tough to have almost everyone, if not all of our sports, be speaking of nadir, at the very bottom of the trough. And the Wings got scored on 3 times in 45 seconds. It was...
Goalie didn't break a sweat.
That is painful.
Yeah, that was painful.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 7 professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
And we've got questions from up in Munising, Marilyn Bachoric. So, for the record, there was a real person, right, named Rocky Marciano. He was a boxer, and his nickname was not Rocky. His name was Rocky. What was his nickname?
Raging Bull.
That's not what it says here. Mm. It says it was based off of where he was from, Beth.
The Brooklyn?
Bronx Bomber? No.
I mean, you're actually putting it together as you go. He was raised in a town in Massachusetts that starts with B, and then Bomber came after.
Boston? Boston.
No, he was the Brockton Bomber, but you know, we kind of put it all together, bits and pieces there. So we'll
at least it wasn't Quincy.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I just got the Boston Bomber. It's hard to host and think at the same time. Ay, caramba. what was Aristocles' nickname?
Plato? Is this no.
Yeah, that's right. His nickname was Plato.
Right. Right.
The name was given by his wrestling coach because it means
he was broad. He was solid and broad of body and a good wrestler, as all those smart.
So every time I think of Play-Doh, I keep on thinking about the kids' clay. That's all.
The dough.
Yes. Yeah, the dough. Yeah.
I always know that Plato's his nickname. I can just never remember what the real name is because, you know, who cares, right? I mean,
yeah.
No, it's true. It's true.
He's known as Plato. So.
Thomas Lanier Williams III is probably better known as
Thomas Lanier Williams?
Williams III.
The third.
Ted Williams?
No.
Are we talking sports?
We are talking
politics.
We're talking, he's a singer.
Singer? Mm-hmm. Meatloaf?
That's a good guess, actually. It's a good guess. No, you know, he moved to New Orleans. And he changed his name from Tom to the name of a U.S. state because his father hailed from that state.
Tennessee Williams?
It's Tennessee Williams.
Oh, so he's got the full room.
Oh.
Yeah. For the record, there's something put here, which probably has to occur in every set of questions about nicknames. Let's see what the professors think. Marilyn muses, are you allowed to choose your own nickname like Tennessee Williams did? Or
no.
Must it be bestowed upon you?
Yes.
It have to be bestowed.
There you go. I guess that's it.
Yeah. We had a professor at CCS that gave himself his own nickname. We kind of like, no, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit.
I believe that I've intersected that way of thinking multiple times in my life. And every single person who tried to choose their own nickname got made fun of. And then a separate nickname based on that making fun of was chosen. Yeah, I'm trying to think if that ever has directly happened to me, but I don't think I've tried to get people to call me something different. I don't know. What was Cannonball Adderley's real first name? Cannonball Adderley.
Who is Cannonball Adderley?
I'll do you one
musician.
Better. When is Cannonball Adderley? Cannonball Adderley, I want to say, was a boxer. Is that right?
No, musician.
Oh, musician. My bad. My bad.
Try to remember.
Starts with the letter J, same as the last name of a very, very famous African American chemist.
Well, that's a help. Not being up on famous chemists.
Well, you should. You should. Famous African American chemist. His first name was Percy. His last name was
Johnson, because that's where Johnson & Johnson comes from. I don't know.
Nope. Okay. It's a Julian. Julian is what we're
doing. Okay. Well, like the salad.
Because, of course, it has to work out this way. He got the nickname Cannibal in high school, but over and over and over being repeated, it basically morphed into Cannonball.
Cannonball. Okay.
Yeah. Cannonball sounds a lot more.
I don't want to know how he got the nickname Cannonball.
I'm wondering about the origin of the original name.
Yeah.
It actually has it here. High school friends thought he had an impressively huge appetite. I'm not familiar at all with this name. What was the nickname of Jean-Baptiste Reinhardt? And who is that is a good question, too.
Django Reinhardt.
Yeah, Django, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Jazz musician. He's a jazz musician.
There we go. Yeah, he was given the nickname Django by his, it says here, gypsy parents. I know that that's not exactly a culturally sensitive term in the year 2021, but
we use the word Romani, aroma.
Romani, yes. Romani is much better. What current world leader has the nickname Mutti, M-U-T-T-I?
Oh.
German for mother. So
it's German for mother.
Angela Merkel?
Yeah, it's Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel. So great. There's only one more layer to the can you nickname yourself, right? And that is, this was originally bestowed on Merkel as an insult, but her supporters loved the nickname because it fit her calming presence and caring for the German people.
So way to own it.
Got him.
Yep.
And here I was thinking it was just her East German stoicism that was responsible for that. But hey.
She has a Spice Girls thing going on. Remember, the Spice Girls were nicknamed in Variety based on their appearance. And they're like, yeah, let's just run with this.
Yep.
Back in the day. Which American general was nicknamed the Bear?
Schwarzkopf?
It was Schwarzkopf. That's right. And this is kind of a cool duality there. During Desert Storm, of course, the media was very fond of calling Schwarzkopf Stormman Norman.
Mm-hmm.
But his troops called him the Bear, massive in stature, powerful, and fiercely protective. That's the nickname he preferred.
Mm-hmm. Well earned.
Frankly, Marilyn says at the bottom here, that was the last question. Did pretty well here. Besides, Detroiters know there's only one Storm and Norman. So,
okay, man, you stumped us.
Referring to
who's that?
Unless we're talking about Norm Cash for the Tigers, that's entirely.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like Norman is exactly your common household name now, is it? I mean, it's kind of fallen out of favor.
No, it's not really. It's not up there much
since
anymore.
Norman Bates, probably.
Oh,
nicknames that get tied to horror movies. That's never a plus. Hey, we got a quick set of questions here. Profs, here are 10 questions about the sport of hockey. A passing grade is 8 out of 10. Thanks for participating. That's from Mitchell Durst. I believe that would have been either Mara or Jason's student a number of semesters ago. From Detroit, Michigan. So let's see what we can do with Mitchell's questions. True or false, the puck must cross the blue line before the offensive team in order to be onside.
Yes.
Yes.
It's true. That is right.
And now the guy can actually pick up his leg as was dragging his skate on it. So.
Right. How many zones are on a rink?
Three.
I mean, there's offense, defense, and
three.
Right.
Yep.
Three zones. How many skaters can be on the ice for one team at a time?
Six.
Six, if we count the goaltender. That's right.
Counting goofiness during the change.
Yes. Yes.
True or false? You can hit the goalie if he plays the puck outside the crease.
Yes. That's one of those unsaid rules, though. You hit him and, you know, you're going to have, like, the sea of humanity coming down on you, though.
I believe that it's possible that both true and false can be true because the rule book states that's against the rules, but people still do it.
Yeah.
I thought if he came out, that was fair game.
The book says no. Mitchell actually has sent us, without giving much away, a whole bunch of cross references to the official NHL handbook here. So
the rule book.
The rule book. Does the puck need to completely cross the goal line to be considered a goal?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
You have to be all white.
Yes,
it
does.
Oh.
It either does it on the ice or three-dimensionally.
Yes. Yep.
What is it called when one player scores three goals in a single game?
Hat-trick.
Ta-da. All that in every sport.
Mm-hmm. How many periods are there in a hockey game?
Three in regulation.
In regulation, that's right. True or false, in the NHL, the defensive team is allowed to substitute after icing the puck.
No, they're not.
That is correct that it is false, yes.
Yeah.
True or false, fighting is allowed at the college level in hockey.
No. It
should be.
I mean, allowed... But you're going to get penalized.
It's all perspective here. It is against the rule.
It's just not allowed.
That it doesn't happen. Yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty sure that Professor Boats knows this one because one of the last times I saw him in person, he was wearing this sweater. Which NHL team has won the most Stanley Cups?
Montreal.
The Canadiens. That's right.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Very well done, professors. Very,
give
very
me
well.
Some poutine.
Well, thank goodness none of you guys are doing the Pepe Le Pew thing. So, I mean.
So the time has come for us to venture into the deep, dark, crazy world of Ask the Professor favorites.
Uh-oh.
I came up with one the other day, and I don't know if it's too esoteric, but I'll give it a whirl. Not necessarily based on where you currently live, but what's your favorite style when it comes to looking at a house? Just a regular old suburban residential house. Oh, I like that style or this style.
Like a bungalow, arts and crafts, ranch.
Craftsman.
You know, Tudor, you know, things like that.
Craftsman.
I think craftsman also.
Yeah. I agree.
Wow, we have like an agreement here.
What's those? What do you call those haciendas that sort of wrap around the courtyard like a horseshoe?
Oh yeah,
that's actually pretty nice.
Not those around here very much, but I lived in El Paso for a little bit, and some of the wealthier people I knew, they had stuff that was nice.
I was going to say high Baroque.
High Baroque.
Wow. High Baroque.
Lots of gold.
Jeff, when you bring up this style, I think about our Jesuit residence on campus at Detroit Mercy. It's a similar kind of motif with the center courtyard.
What was
Dan's? Is busy thinking about his
response. The same. I would say probably more of my styles will be found in the city rather than the suburbs.
Sure, sure.
Because they're older homes.
Some of those university district houses, Dan, they look like little castles. They're so cool.
They are. Yeah, they are.
And there's a lot of Tudor.
They went seriously crazy on the Tudor over.
So one of my favorites, and Beth will know this, is Edwin's old house.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody else was in there, but boy, what a house that was.
His was big enough not to be too dark. A lot of Tudor houses are just very dark inside.
And then central air is also a tricky thing with those things too, aren't they?
Yeah, can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine lived over in the university district. He dropped like $30,000 to put in AC.
Yeah, I have one of the few, I mean, all of this Tudor in my house is pretty classically Federalist. I mean, it's brick facing and black shutters and, but that's okay. It's still pretty.
It works. So
not a craftsman, which would be my preference, but it's still
nobody said like earth home yet. So, you know, we're not like dredging up like old tires and filling in with moss or anything like that. Right. So
not yet.
Not yet.
Well, what about you, Matt? What's your,
you know, it's I gotta say, I was shocked in a good way when I heard people talking about things like arts and crafts and craftsmen and stuff like that. I've kind of been fascinated with, Frank Lloyd Wright, and if Leslie were here, she'd tell you about his intersection with Elo Saarinen and how they work together with Marshall Fredericks at Cranbrook, because that's their the name of their game. And I just, Mission is also cool. I know that's out where.
Yeah, Mark, Mission is cool.
And I like, frankly, even though I know they're not houses, that looking into that style, like the old school buildings we have on our campus, we're like thinking about big buildings in that way with terracotta roofs and sandstone walls and things like that. It's kind of cool. The time has come for us to say goodbye. Dan.
Goodbye.
Mara.
Bye.
Jeff.
See y'all later.
Beth.
Wanting to sing Oliver now.
Jim.
Arrivederci.
And Dave.
See ya.
Now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.